I still believe through the cold and through the heat, through the rain and through the tears, through the crowd and through the cheers. Ladies and gentlemen, we are pleased to welcome on the three co-hosts of the Redbird Red Zone podcast, the number one Arizona Cardinals podcast on the web.
Matt,
Will, and Jackie here to help us break down this upcoming game against the Cardinals. Guys and girl, welcome to the Dogs War podcast, and thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Pleasure to be
here. Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, looking forward to this Sunday.
Full ass house, Raleigh. I don't think we've ever had this many people on at one time before.
Yeah, we got to stop with the gender assumptions here, Kevin. This is the
hey, I said guys and girl.
I know.
Yeah, he did.
And that's still assumptioning.
All right. We welcome on our.
No, that's dark. Sorry, we're in a bad, depressed spot after Monday's loss.
Yeah. You guys got to have a victory Monday this week. We did not, so we're still a little down in the dumps. But yeah.
Congratulations on five victory Mondays in a row for you guys.
It's been awesome.
Yeah, must
last
be
week
nuts.
Was a little tight, and we incurred a lot of injuries. But yeah, we're kind of glad just to be here right now with everything going on, and we missed our two starting cornerbacks last week.
Join the club. Yeah. We were down to our sixth string on Sunday.
And so this week it seems like we're going to be without Chandler Jones due to COVID protocols, and we already have the second worst rush defense in the league. We're giving up 5.4 yards per carry. So now here comes the Browns and their little two-headed duo monster and Nick Chubb and
The best running back tandem in the league right there.
Yeah, so I think we're all kind of on pins and needles over here game to start.
Guys, you have Kyler Murray, and you're 5-0, the only undefeated team in the NFL. If Chandler Jones was the only player in the team, I'd be worried too. But, well, I want to back up real quick. Talk to us about you guys born and raised Cardinals fans. Are you guys from, where? It's not Phoenix, is it? Scottsdale? Tempe?
Yep. I'm in Tempe.
No, the Cardinals Stadium, sorry.
Oh, Glendale. Yeah, outside
of
Phoenix.
That's my fault. That's a lot of Ohio State games there, Raleigh. Talk to us about how'd you guys start being Cardinals fans, and then tell us the story of the Redbird Red Zone origination.
I think I should tell the origin story.
Yeah, go ahead, tell the origin story. Will's been there from the beginning.
All right, so in 2015, 2016, I was doing a Cardinals podcast with Kyrie 091, who he later go on to be one of our co-hosts, and that really went well. And a couple years later, my editor Bob Obbles is like, "Hey, I kind of want to get a podcast together." So it's like, "Fuck it, I'm down. I'd like to do it." So the first season we had was the Josh Rosen year. I remember in our first episode, I said, "You know, I don't know much about this Steve Wilkes guy, but I'm looking at this roster. 9-7, baby. Let's go." So that year was a disaster. Along the way, last year, because we had a year break because we just kind of fell out of it, these two guys joined me as guests, and they later became full-on hosts. So, I mean, these two are vital. I love these guys. But as for how I became a fan, I was kind of born into it. My first ever football game was actually Emmitt Smith's last game. It was in December of 2005.
Okay.
And then, Mac, you came on after. Yeah. When did you come on, Mac?
Well, actually, that first year, they invited me to come on. So I went on, did an episode with them. And lo and behold, the whole episode got erased, so we didn't even go on air. So I was like, screw this podcast, whatever. And then, so the next season, which would be, I guess, last season, they asked me to come on again and jumped on there. And then a couple weeks in, we got Jackie in. But, born and raised Cardinal fan, all Arizona sports. So if we are, if I do seem a little, hesitant to take in all the 5-0 glory and everything. It's because I've been hurt before. So, you know, one game at a time, one win at a time. So, but yeah, so I appreciate you guys having us on.
That was a good catch, Mac. We were actually trying to jinx you into submission there, and you didn't you didn't take the bait. So I totally
can't blame this off on me if we lose.
You sprung that trap pretty well. Well done.
What about you, Jack?
Yeah. So last year I went to the I had an option to go to either the Dolphins Cardinals game or the Bills Cardinals game. So I'm like, I'm going to take the safer bet and go Dolphins, and. They just asked me to come on to kind of share my experience because of all the COVID protocols.
Yeah.
And then that happened to be like their highest viewed episode, so they wanted me to come back for more. So
brush their shoulders off. Brush their shoulders off.
Yeah. So yeah, no, born and raised Cardinals fan. My dad's been a season ticket holder for a long time. So I've been to my fair share of games, not only in Glendale, but Sun Devil Stadium where they originated. So it's been a long, painful journey. And my first game actually was a Browns game when I was like 5.
Nice. You got to see America's team.
Yep.
That's pretty lucky.
Yeah. But do you remember who they were playing?
No.
No.
It's probably lost. It was
like the Jake Plummer years. I'm sure we probably...
if there was a tie, it'd be between the 90s Browns and the 90s Cardinals.
Dang. So I want to go back before we even get to this season. Over the summer, you guys got J.J. Watt. I don't know. Again, I'm not intertwined in Cardinals Nation, but I feel like for us on this side of the country, seeing J.J. Watt sign to the Cardinals was like a big shock. Some people thought he was coming to the Browns to play with, you know, Miles. Some people thought he'd go apart with the – there's 5 other teams that they were talking about, but Cardinals weren't even on there. And then a lot of people like ESPN, a lot of talking heads, of course, don't do anything but talk shit for the most part, were wondering why J.J. was going to go to the Cardinals because they didn't seem like they had a contending or a playoff or championship roster when he did. They all got the last laugh because you guys are now 5-0. Kyler Murray is MVP candidate. You're losing your minds over there with some of these victories and these scores, as you should. So my question, what was the reaction when J.J. signed? And I guess what were your guys' expectations, knowing that you were getting a superstar, but he's kind of on that back nine of his career, and how's he lived up to it?
I think it was euphoric for all of us, you know. It was that day on Twitter where it just, you know, you want that day to just go on forever. And, you know, it had shades like the DeAndre Hopkins trade, just kind of that similar feeling. And I do think that's probably a part of the reason why J.J. chose us. Because you have Kyler Murray on the offense and your buddy DeAndre Hopkins. And then to team him up on the front seven with Chandler Jones. And I know we paid him pretty well, too. So, but I know that was a huge ad. And especially, I know Jackie's been really talking about, you know, our lack of leadership last year, especially.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he's came in and he's done a good job. He hasn't recorded a sack yet. But through a couple of different metrics, I know Pro Football Focus and ESPN have him rated as one of the top interior pass rushers from defensive linemen this year. And he had his most productive game last week against the 49ers. So hopefully he can keep it rolling against you guys. We're going to need it against that running attack.
I like that you said, I feel like Miles has said it, Takaris McKinley has said it, JJ I'm sure said it somewhere, but with all these edge guys, people just want to look at sacks and nothing else. Like Takaris McKinley, one of our edge guys, he said, look, I didn't have any sacks this game, but I hit the quarterback 5 times, and like I'm still doing my job. So that's the thing about that position is people want to just look at sacks, but you look at a guy like J.J. Watt, who you have to double team and keep your eyes on at all times, so it frees up other guys, similar to how we have with Miles. And he obviously is leading that locker room, like you guys said, which is no surprise with someone like him.
Yeah. I made the analogy a couple weeks back of another guy who, you know, was a Houston player that eventually came to Phoenix. I said, you know, J.J. Watt is effectively the Chris Paul of the Arizona Cardinals. His numbers don't exactly pop out on the stat sheet, but in terms of like leadership and just what you see on the field, it doesn't necessarily reflect. And he is a absolutely stellar player, and I think that he has been a great instrument to the Cardinals' success this year.
Any Cardinals fan would agree that the most pivotal statement win that you guys had was against the Rams a couple weeks back. Right?
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, now in hindsight, I mean, that Cowboys win is looking pretty shiny too. I mean, you're their one defeat.
We got them later on in the year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The Titans one to start the season was a big one as well for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this interview with our friends at the Redbird Red Zone podcast to remind you that our friends over at Manscaped have got the best grooming products out there for men and women. Check them out. Go to manscaped.com, type in code FANSIDED20. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping on your first order. I got five words for you. Performance Package 4.0. I think that's five. One, two, three, four, five. Five words. Best razor I've ever had. It's waterproof. The lawnmower, you have to get it. One more time, manscaped.com, promo code FANSIDED20 for 20% off and free shipping. The holidays are coming up. You need gifts. What better way to say Merry Christmas than with a new razor? Well, there's probably some other ways, but you get what I'm saying. Back to the interview.
What were some of the standout, I don't know, players? Who should the Browns, I'm kind of jumping the gun on this question, some of the bigger names to look out for on the defensive side of the ball? I mean, you guys have had shootouts that you've won. You've had, when you beat, who was it, the Niners, it was 17-10, fairly low scoring game. What are some of the patterns you're seeing on defense, the defensive side of the ball? Who are some of the names the Browns should be looking out for other than JJ and Chandler Jones?
I think the biggest guy who has stepped up this season is Isaiah Simmons, top 10 pick from last year. He missed all of training camp like all the rookies last year, but just like what he does for a defense, he plays so many different roles. He can be your outside linebacker if you want to. He could even play safety. So I think last year was just kind of, to start the season, it wasn't as expected for him, especially. He lost a lot of snap counts after that week one. But he built it up, and by the end of the year, he looked like the player that we are seeing now. And one thing I know, you guys is the Browns. You guys have a pretty good tight end.
We have three very. We have a very good tight end.
Send us Austin Hooper. I know a lot of fans are like, anybody, give us Austin.
We got Austin Hooper.
We lost Max Williams on offense.
Joku and Harrison Bryant's a pretty good. His sophomore year.
So the Cardinals, we've historically been awful against tight ends. Like, I don't know if you guys play fantasy football, but there was a couple of years there where it's just like, even Cardinal fans are like, you know, who the Cardinals playing? We're going to pick up that tight end, you know, and just roll with
true
it.
Story. But
this year, we were right amongst the league leaders in least amount of catches given up and yards to tight ends. And a big reason is Isaiah Simmons. Entering last week, he was the number one linebacker in passer rating, according to Pro Football Reference, on any linebacker with at least 10 targets thrown his way. And that's just something that we haven't seen for a long time as Cardinal fans. And so that's definitely one name to keep an eye on. Another name who doesn't get a lot of pub is our safety next to Buda Baker. And Buda Baker's playing like an all-pro too. But the safety next to him, Jalen Thompson. This last week was the second week in a row leading the Cardinals in tackles, and he's playing coverage as well as pretty much anyone back there. And like we mentioned a little bit earlier, we have a lot of injuries at our secondary with our number one cornerback, Byron Murphy, who's a third-year player. He's stepped into the cornerback one role after Malcolm Butler retired unexpectedly. And then Marco Wilson, who also missed last week with injury, fourth-round rookie. And replacing him last week was Robert Outford, who I got to give a shout out to him. He missed the last two seasons due to injury. So week one this year, we signed him 2 years ago, had him last two seasons, didn't play a snap for us. We brought him back on a league minimum. Last week he ran out there as basically the cornerback one and for Byron Murphy and gave up two receptions on four targets for 1 yard. So he's a hell of a comeback story. So there are a bunch of names that, you know, you're not going to really see like on ESPN or anything like that, but they've just gelled as a team. And you know, you got to take your hats off to Vance Joseph. A lot of fans wanted, me included, wanted him out after season one, but he stuck to it. And you know, we have a top 8 defense in points given up and a top 5 offense for points for. So when you have that, you're going to have a pretty good team usually at the end.
Yeah, you guys have a freak of a front seven, freak show of a front seven. Like we've already talked about Chandler Jones, JJ Watt, Isaiah Simmons, Zayvon Collins. When you guys played the 49ers, you guys successfully had your 10th forced turnover of the year, I believe, And then you guys had that goal line stop. You also stopped four or five fourth down tries by the 49ers. This defense is no joke. That goal line play where you guys stopped them there, like violently stopped him from getting in, is just fun to watch. So was this coming into this year, is this the defense you guys expected to see, or are they taking you by surprise? Will's like, yo, this is like Christmas early, baby.
Yeah. I mean, I won't lie. I'm going to totally eat crow here. This defense is not at all what I expected it to be. Like going into this, you know, just to start the season, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you know, Malcolm Butler's retiring. Who's in our secondary now? Oh, that's our secondary. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, it's like, oh, our secondary is looking really good against a good receiving team. So it's like, I'm really liking what I'm seeing. Our front seven looks stout. Our secondary has effectively made it a no-fly zone for a lot of teams. I really dig it. I love what I see.
Yeah, no, it took me by surprise as well, especially in the draft. I think corner was high on my wish list, and then we went another linebacker, and I was a little upset about that. But doesn't matter. Our corners have been playing lights out. Hopefully we can see them healthy this Sunday.
So not just the defense, talking about preseason and now. You guys have come in, we said it before, everyone knows you're 5-0. But, I mean, you guys smoked the Titans. You smoked the Jags and the Rams. Talk about, Will, you said a few years ago, you're like, oh, we're going 9-7. Coming into this season, did you guys have, what were your expectations for this team overall? I know everyone would want to say, oh, we knew we'd be undefeated by, you know, week six. But what were your expectations coming into the year, and where are they at right now?
I'm glad he picked Will. I'm glad he picked Will for this one.
He's the best.
Anyone can answer. Oh,
gonna roast me on this forever.
No, he picked us to go under 500, so we got to, you know, give him a little.
Well, I had a score of 500 in the week one episode. In the preseason episode, I said 9-8. I said 9-8.
We'll have to go back with seats on that, but okay, I trust you.
I had very tempered expectations. As a Cardinals fan, I know pain and suffering. I have seen 4-0 seasons collapse into 5-11 seasons. I've seen, you know, seemingly unstoppable Kyler Murray teams turn into 8-8 seasons. I mean, it's a hard team to root for. So, I mean, going into this season, I had very tempered expectations. I thought we'd have a winning record. I wasn't sure if we'd make the playoffs, but as it stands right now, we have seen this team's full potential. We have seen what they can really do. And honestly, if they either don't make the playoffs or they don't make it far in the playoffs, I think that's a disappointment. I think that this team has the capability to go a long way if they live up to what they can do.
And stay healthy. Yep. The biggest thing is, so we saw this last year. The Cardinals went 6-3 to start the year. And we kind of had similar vibes. We did not have the defense looking as good as what it is now. But then Kyler Murray got landed on by some big old Seattle defensive lineman. And after that, kind of just downward spiraled our whole offensive game plan. We couldn't go deep anymore. So he was trying to play through injury, and it was apparent, and he wasn't running at all. So that's another reason why, you know, a lot of Cardinal fans are tempering expectations. Is, you know, we have a hell of a team, but all it takes is one hit. You take one hit to Kyler Murray, Colt McCoy isn't coming in here and saving the day for the season. So, you know, every down, every player kind of just holding our breath and, you know, trying to enjoy the journey, because a lot of these times, a lot of these seasons, they don't feel as rare as this one right here. Like, this has a special feeling. So just trying to soak it up and enjoy it.
I feel like you guys have a great supporting cast still around him. I mean, obviously losing Kyler would be, you know, detrimental as all hell. But I think, I'm thinking of last night watching the Ravens play, and I would say Ravens fans are probably saying that way more. Because if Jackson goes down, Lamar goes down, they have no one else on that team.
Oh, yeah.
But he's in the same level. You know, he's that superstar like Kyler. Riley, do you have something? Sorry.
No, it's I was just kind of thinking. I don't know if you saw my thinking face. Called ADHD comes with a blatant thinking face. Just what you said is what a lot of teams are, you know, kind of hoping and praying is our team looks good. God, please keep them healthy. And I was just thinking how stupid this addition of the extra game to the regular season is. And Kevin, I haven't. We should probably discuss this on the podcast. Maybe in the off season next year, we plan ahead, whatever. But do you have any idea what the players' union gained? Like, what kind of concessions the players gained from that? Because I see no advantage to anyone, especially the league, for the addition of the, what is it, the 17th regular season game.
I don't think it was anything of what they would gain from an extra game. I think what they gained was pretty much deleting half of the preseason with training camps and all that. And they said that by doing that last year, the data that came in said injuries around the league were down a certain percentage point. I don't know. I have no idea how to answer that. I just know there's a lot more focus on what they gained by having a lesser preseason. That's a great question. Cause I mean, obviously it's money. NFL, I mean, they're going to go to, they're talking about 18 games over the next couple of years. So
it blows my mind. And sorry, we're having this debate that has nothing to do with either of our teams, but you guys seem like you might have an answer to it.
That's the reason why we're playing each other, though, is that extra game.
You're right. Yeah. This is that game. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I don't know that.
I'm just hoping everyone stays healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
Still bitter about the every time I play Arizona, or I've gone to Arizona for an Ohio State National Championship game. Granted, they were playing Florida. The Browns game 2 years ago, and every year I'm going with like, oh my God, I think we're going to win this year. It's a sweet place to be. Had a mini moon there after I got married last year, and every year we just get smoked. So now it's in Cleveland. This could be the year. I don't know. I'm having a lot of questions about our defense. I thought they were the greatest defense of all time 2 weeks ago.
I call him the best defense in the NFL heading into last week, so he could blame me for jinxing it.
You have that power.
Mac, we've been looking for any excuse or any reason possible, so we appreciate you volunteering for that. So for our listeners, Mac is what ruined our defense, his jinx.
Baker puts up 42 points, and he's still getting blamed. He did his job. Yeah. Like, it blows my mind.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, as a Cardinal fan, that's ridiculous seeing that. That is what, wife had to come out and say something?
Yeah, she... I don't know. It's kind of frustrating. The other thing is, it's like, well, who the hell are we? If it's not Baker's fault, that doesn't mean you just tee off on the defense. I don't know why we just, as a fan base, can't just come together, realize that the refs still hate Cleveland from Bottlegate, and figure out how to burn this whole thing down. I don't know. So, yeah, like I said, it's Tuesday. We're still kind of depressed. Caught me on a depressed day.
But to sum it up, both of our fan bases and franchises know plenty of pain. So that's why I think that we can relate very well to a lot of things here. A lot of talk over the last several weeks, of course, for obvious reasons, regarding college coaches going to pros, pro coaches going back to college, obviously with stuff going on with Urban Meyer, talking about all the historical stuff there. Cliff Kingsbury, he didn't have the best – record in college, and then you guys hired him, and it was like, whoa, what's going on here? We've seen this happen before. We've seen the script 1,000 times. It's working, knock on wood. His air raid offense, talk to me, when you guys hired him, were you guys like, oh, let's go, a young dude, it's going to be like a Sean McVay? Were you guys like, damn it, it's the same old Cardinals, in the same way as we would go the same old Browns or something risky like that? Or how was understand hiring Cliff and where we're at with him now?
I was hesitant about it when it first happened. I mean, I was definitely glad that Steve Wilkes was gone, because it's like he's by far the worst coach in Cardinals history, and I don't want to debate anybody on that because that's just facts. I knew very little about Kingsbury going in. All I knew is like, oh, well, he plays these, you know, this hot, fast-paced offense. I always see Texas Tech in the box scores. Like, oh yeah, they got 55 points this week. And then they did it again and again and again. And it's like, but I was a bit of a doubter the first two years. There were definitely some things he did that I wasn't a fan of, but I like what he's doing this year. I think that he his scheme's finally coming into its own, and I think that he's having himself a good year.
It's yeah, sorry.
5-0. Nice take, Will.
Yeah. No, most Cardinal fans wanted him fired. They thought this was the year for sure that he was going to get fired. But I think the biggest turnaround this season has been the personnel that we've gotten. He can finally run the offense that he had envisioned. But initially, I was really excited about Cliff. Didn't know much about him other than he coached Mahomes and Baker in college. So, you know, two great quarterbacks on your resume doesn't hurt.
And, did, you,
He's pretty easy on the eyes, I'm not going to lie.
I was going to say, did it hurt when you guys briefly had the best-looking head coach in the NFL and then Stefanski got hired, and now he's, like, knocked down a little bit? Or
We both have.
Why are they laughing,
yeah.
Ali?
Yeah.
Like, there was a
sternly.
When Cliff got hired, there was a portion of the fan base that was super excited because we were just coming through the Mike McCoy, Josh Rosen, and that was offensively, that was pathetic. So our whole, I know my mindset going in was, okay, Steve Keim, our general manager, has to find the right defensive coordinator and has to find the right defensive pieces because Cliff is going to prop up an offense that was literally one of the worst in NFL history before he arrived with Josh Rosen. And so there was a group of us that, I mean, we were excited and there was a hashtag that started trending around stiff for Cliff. So not everyone was against it, you know?
Yes.
So,
yes.
I too was.
I want to just start tweeting that. I'm going to tweet that tonight just for fun.
Hey, if you put in hashtag stiff for Cliff, you're going to go through a bunch of, Cardinal fans, but you're going to see how it's like before this season, there was like a blank space. Cause there was, everyone knew heading into this season though, that this was make or break. Not only for him, but for Steve Keim, our general manager, who's, you know, he's our winningest GM, but that's not saying a lot. But we've been 5 years now under him. So now, I mean, they've both saved faces, and we've gotten a defense. I mean, I always said, you get him even a average defense, we're going to win a lot of games with him. He's an offensive guru guy, and it's funny that you call it the air raid because he actually, if you guys look at it this week, he runs the ball a lot more than what people anticipate. On the season, we're actually throwing the ball only 3 or 4 times more per game than we do rushing it. We've passed 165 times. We've ran it 151, which is something that not a lot of people – James Conner's averaging 3.6 yards a carry, but he's got 5 touchdowns, and only Derrick Henry has more in the NFL so far. So Cliff really loves trying to make it third and manageable for Kyler Murray. And that's kind of the thing that threw me off when he came here is actually how much he actually runs the ball. So that's something to keep an eye on this week for you Browns fans. See how, if you guys can keep Connor out of the end zone, because that's one thing that he's been able to do. He's not going to break a lot of, 25-yard runs, but he's a power back, and he's going to throw his shoulder into somebody. And so I'm looking forward to seeing him go up against his front seven when it comes down to it inside the red zone.
Well, go ahead.
Quick question in regards to that. I was thinking about this watching the Bills games. When you have the mobile quarterbacks, the Lamars, the Murrays, Josh Allens, do you see many design run plays with Kyler, or are you seeing him using his legs on like a broken play?
This year it's broken plays. I would say 80% of his rushes are on broken plays. The first two seasons, I'd say more times than not.
He was getting lit up a lot. He was getting lit up.
And that was a big thing heading into this year. We didn't want him to rush. He has not rushed for more than 40 yards in a game this season. He told us, heading into this year, if he rushed for 40 or less yards, we were like 4-13. This year so far, we're 5-0. And if he got above 40 yards in those previous 2 years, we were like 9-3 or something like that. So this offense has definitely evolved from just being the Kyler Murray leg and arm show to a well-rounded, balanced offense. We have 5 receivers who've caught at least – or 5 offensive players who've caught at least 15 passes this year. Chase Edmonds, just like you guys, leads the team actually in catches. He's actually tied with DeAndre Hopkins. So I know Kareem Hunt leads you guys with catches. So, I mean, Chase Edmonds kind of plays that Kareem Hunt role. I like to look at James Conner and Chase Edmonds as kind of like the poor man's Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, if that makes sense at all. You got a lot of flexibility with Chase. And then James Conner, I mean, Nick Chubb's one of the best guys, and top 2 in the NFL running backs, and that's not James Conner, but they give you a different change of pace, and so you guys will see that how it's changed from just a Kyler Murray leg show really into a well-rounded offense.
And this is a great segue into the offense, which I wanted to get into. Side note, you said the arm and leg show. That's what people refer to Raleigh and I when they see us in public, really.
But with my shirt off.
With our shirts off. Yeah.
And shorts on.
He's got the arms, he's got the legs.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's both of us have everything.
The answer is yes.
Okay. Yeah. The answer is yes, yeah. So Kyler Murray, to know, unless you've been living under a rock, is an MVP candidate, one of the most explosive offenses in this league. I look at you guys, and I've never made this analogy to a football offense before, but it's like watching a basketball team in a football sense. Different and not like different from Mahomes, because you guys have obviously Kyler leading it, and then you've got Chase Edmonds, Christian Kirk, AJ Green, DeAndre Hopkins. You got our James Conner, we talked about. You guys drafted Rondale Moore, who, like we're talking about Hunt, he's your catch and run specialist. From that, you guys are doing a lot more screens and bubbles and gadget plays with him. Like, you guys have so many options and weapons. And not just, it's one thing to have options, but you guys are employing all of these different options all over the place. Talk to me about this offense. I know it's a vague question, but again, what has surprised you the most this year about that?
I think the addition of our center, Ronnie Hudson, who hopefully will play Sunday.
That was my next question, but sorry.
Keep hopefully, going. But yeah, he's been the biggest asset to this offense, because now that we have time to get Kyler to set up to throw, we can make some of those air raid plays that everyone's, you know, our offense is so famously known for. Not only that, but even like these little screens that Cliff was calling last year that wasn't working. Now our run game is really getting going. So our line has been the biggest thing with our offense.
Agreed.
Yeah, last year especially, Cliff would run like a lot of screens. And unfortunately for us last year, our best, our fastest receiver was probably like Andy Isabella. And he was so far down the depth chart that he oftentimes wouldn't even, you wouldn't see passes thrown his way or anything. So you'd see, you know, these little bubble screens or just regular old screens run with like Larry Fitzgerald or DeAndre Hopkins, just like these, you know, really good wide receivers, but never the guy you want to see running a screen. This year, I mean, going off of your basketball analogy, just the general distribution of the ball has been insane. Like most of our receivers get a good amount of touches in a game. It's like watching like a 1950s basketball game where they just don't shoot the ball. But
I like that.
A casual might you know, listen to things about our team is like, oh yeah, no, this is just a passing team, and it's like, no, this is a well-oiled machine. Our passing and rushing attempts, it's almost even. Like we've had 165 passing attempts and 151 rushing attempts this year, so it's pretty well 50-50. So I mean, if this team doesn't beat you one way, it'll beat you another.
Like Jackie said, though, it all really comes down to the offensive line. In years past, you'd hit Kyler early in a game, and he'd kind of, you know, act skittish back there. And now he's not really getting hit early in a game. So he's able to sit back there. He's able to trust what he sees in front of him. And this is the first time this year where we've seen him actually start checking out of plays. He never really did that before. And he's actually reading, going from his first read, second read, third read. Third read's not there. Then that's when he really scrambles. So that's definitely the maturation of Kyler taking this offense basically by the horns. And he's essentially a coach out there now. When years past, he was just trying to go off his pure athletic ability. So it's you know, we've had a lot of injuries up front, even up front, and we've had one guy after another come in on the offensive line and have actually shown their worth, which has been rare in the past. So, I mean, right now we're all just crossing fingers, you know, hopefully it keeps rolling, and we'll see how it goes against your guys' front seven, because you guys are no joke up there either.
So you're saying we need to hit them first. We need to hit them first, early. Week has acquired. Let's email Stefanski.
I was going to say, make sure Stefanski said after this episode for sure. And that's interesting you guys say that about Kyler, though, about him getting a little skittish back there, because I know when I think of that, a lot of defenses know that about Derek Carr. They know as soon as they hit him once or twice, he just gets scared the rest of the game, as would I. So I'm not trying to, you know, let's be real here. So it's interesting to hear that about him. Talked about injuries a little bit. To be honest, I don't even know. We're still waiting on like 10 MRIs from the other games. I have no clue who's in or out, which is going to change a lot of things about this game dramatically in the next couple of days. Max Williams, tight end for you guys, left the game, I believe, on a cart. Rodney Hudson, three-time Pro Bowler, who you talked about, Jackie, your star center. Those are what I saw with, and you guys just said too, Chandler Jones on the COVID list. Are those the three guys that we might not see on Sunday?
I mean, Max Williams, it's not been confirmed yet, but it's pretty much certain that he'll be out for the rest of the year.
Whenever I see a cart, I just assume it's at least a week.
Yeah, it's Ian Rappaport says he suffered a season-ending injury. Byron and Marco are questionable. Chandler is stated to be out. I mean, it's
we're hopeful Rodney can come back. That's kind of what we're hopeful. His backup stepped in, Max Garcia, who's got a lot of starts under his belt in the NFL, came in and played well, but Rodney Hudson is literally the anchor up front. So we're all, same as you guys, just kind of hoping and praying at this point that whatever MRIs come back look good.
We had Wyatt Teller on the podcast a couple times, and he told us for linemen, every single snap when you go up and you get your – it's the equivalent of a 35-mile-an-hour car crash on their bodies every single time. And I don't think people realize, like, yeah, obviously, the running backs get killed. Everyone's getting hit. But linemen, however many times that is a game, a lot of those guys, even after the first couple of weeks, so many of them, like, for example, J.C. Treader, our center, he doesn't really practice during the week because he's trying to just get better from the last game to be able to go the next game. And a lot of these linemen, they can't physically practice during the week because how torn up their bodies are. So
that's the thing with Cliff. The one thing with Cliff is, you know, a lot of people mocked him for the hiring or whatever, but he's a player's coach through and through. So he gives a lot of guys Wednesdays off, and I know a lot of radio people, you know, jump on him. Like, why aren't these guys practicing Wednesday? It's a big day. But
it's working.
I mean, and he's the type of coach that will take the blame for everything, but then gives all the players all the credit all the time. You know, so it's kind of a coach who I feel like the players actually run through a wall for, and you wouldn't expect that, you know, when he first got hired and everything you heard about him, like, how is he going to take control of a locker room? But he treats them like grown men. He's not going to tell something to the media that he wouldn't tell them, you know, beforehand. So that's the thing with Cliff. He does kind of do the same thing where he gives the guys as much rest as possible, and he trusts them, you know, to be pros and be ready on Sunday.
One more question, and then we can go and get into predictions before we wrap up. So I've already kept you guys longer than I promised, so I apologize. And then Riley, if you have something too, this is nothing against either of them individually. Let's get that clear here. Does anyone in Arizona give a damn about this? The media is trying to make this Kyler versus Baker, Oklahoma versus Oklahoma thing. I couldn't care about any storyline less, not just in football, but anywhere. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a manufactured storyline. I think I think that nobody outside of maybe Sooners fans really cares.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. OU fans for sure, yeah.
In 2019, was it, when we played them last?
Yeah.
I was at the game. A lot of Sooners fans. Lots of Sooners fans. But they were there for Baker, not for Kyler.
I can back that up. Yep. On the Browns specific Instagram account, Angry Browns Fans, there are a ton, and I mean a ton, of Oklahoma now Browns fans, just because I think they were kind of looking for a team. Baker was the guy. I don't know if Kyler brought the same type of weight. Oklahoma, I swear, there's something about, they don't want to be Cowboys fans. That's what I've just decided based off of my skewed insight, but they are all about their quarterbacks, and they love their guys. So it could just be, claw for ratings, but I don't think you're going to have trouble getting people to watch that game.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only game on Fox during that time slot. So not exactly like it's...
I never thought about this till just now, Raleigh. Will, Mac, Jackie, Raleigh started an Instagram account for however many years ago. It's got tens of thousands of followers, Angry Browns fans, and he'll promote the podcast, and I'm just realizing now that our guests always know us as Dogs of War Podcast. Then they get tagged in something from an account called Angry Browns Fans, and it probably confuses them, but that's awesome. I'm very entertained by that thought now. Sidebar. Like, they see they're getting tagged by an account, Angry Browns Fans, not realizing at first that it's you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's hilarious to me.
Yeah. Like, who's this guy? Loves our podcast now.
Yeah. It was a retweet.
So, Sunday, we got the Arizona Cardinals, 5-0. First perfect start in almost 50 years for you guys. Got to give credit where due. Last undefeated team in the NFL. One thing we like to do here is finish up with predictions. If you guys are okay with that, we've had some people that are like superstitious. We can't do that. Sorry, but no, thank you. Jackie, ladies first, Sunday, 3 p.m., 4 p.m. Eastern.
I was hoping I would go last.
We can go ladies last. Just got to give ladies first the option.
Yeah, pick me last.
All right. Roll her back. Flip a coin.
I'll go first. So I know there are a lot of Cardinals fans kind of worried about this game, and my brother in particular. He thinks it's just time. You know, we've kind of played good teams and we've kind of held them off, and he thinks the Browns are going to get us this week, especially with them coming out angry after last week. But for me, I can't pick against Kyler right now and this team, so I'm going to go 27-23 Cardinals.
Oh, jeez. It's that time of the week. It's that time of year again, isn't it?
Will, your face right now, people can't see you on video. You're like that scene in The Hangover where Alan is about to go play blackjack with the numbers around in front of him. I mean, you are in deep thought right now, and I like that.
I've got a reputation with the cast. I am the pessimist of the group. And this week, I don't know. I'm just not feeling it. I'm looking at that Browns rushing offense, and that is just a well-oiled machine. And that is our biggest weakness. The Cardinals' biggest weakness is our rushing defense. As add on to that, I mean, Browns are coming in with something to prove. Cards just got back from an ugly game. And frankly, I mean, the Cardinals never really do well on the East Coast. So, I mean, I'm going to predict the Cardinals L here. I love this team. I will defend it to the death.
Call me shocked.
I respect that. I'm the resident pessimist, though. I'd say Raleigh's definitely the more positive outlook. I'm more the I've been beat down so many times, but that's why it works. You got to have those opposite takes, like you guys do.
Those refs might have broke me on Sunday.
Well, you were also there. You were there in person.
Oh, every time I go to a kick-ass sunny state to watch the Browns win, something shitty happens, and it's like it just erases a magical weekend. And I'm like, well, it not only did it erase the magical weekend, my Monday and Tuesday have been blown out of the water. So, but back by Wednesday. Anyway,
Raleigh and I haven't been to our therapist yet this week either, so you guys are kind of filling in for that right now, so we appreciate you listening. Raleigh, your prediction, though.
Yeah, it's. I do think the Browns are going to play pissed, and I don't know if they're going to just, you know, try to win the game with run control and try to exploit that Cards defense or run defense. But I mean, Tyler Murray's a little cheat code with a turbo button, so I think it's going to be a fairly high scoring game. But I think I'm going to go Browns 37. Cardinals 17. Sorry, I do that every week. Erase that, Kevin. But
sorry. I tell all our guys, I'll listen to the story 1,000 times. He, like, last year we had Ravens podcast on. He said like Browns 63, Ravens 3, and the guy fell out of his chair. Like thought he was here, but it's gonna be a slugfest. Look, I would not bet on any team against Kyler Murray right now, except that Stefanski has never lost two in a row as Browns coach yet. I almost want to do you guys a favor and have you guys – well, again, you could go – hey, knock on wood, you could go win every game and Super Bowl, whatever. But I feel like you would rather lose a game now than like Pittsburgh and wait till November, December to ruin that undefeated streak. You know what I mean? That's just me. I've never been undefeated before. I'm going to go – it's 21-18 Browns.
All right. I respect it.
Thank you, Jackie.
I think it's going to be high scoring, but not anything crazy like the Chargers and the Browns. So I'm going to say 31-27 Cardinals because I can't bet against my team.
No, I respect that. Yeah. But
yeah. It's probably the most realistic of the.
Yeah.
This is the week that I hit watch.
Raleigh, any final thoughts?
Go Browns and F Kyler Murray. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Yeah,
anytime.
Yeah, anytime. Mac, Will, Jackie, again, the Redbird Red Zone hosts. You find this podcast anywhere?
All platforms? Spotify and YouTube, but we're thinking about expanding, but we're working on it.
There you go. We'll have all the Twitter info and everything in the episode description. Once again, Redbird Red Zone, thank you so much for joining us. For our guests, for Raleigh, for myself, this has been the Dogs of War podcast. Good night, Cleveland.
Just slinging the ball around. Oh yeah, it's Tim Couch. That man is jacked, and that's a fact. Hell of a quarterback. Oh yeah, it's Tim Couch. Listen up, everybody knows this is how the story goes.